One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Auto parts. The Texans embarrassed us in front of Beyonce on Christmas Day. We're going to talk about all that and more on this edition of the Bullpen. Hello and welcome to the Bullpen. As always, I'm James Roy, and with me is Tom Trevier. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing about as good as I can be under the circumstances. I mean, if you've been on social media, if you've been on sports talk radio, the vibes are not immaculate, as the kids say. It was a pretty ugly loss. There's very few highlights. I mean, the MVP for the Texans, as another co-host said, was Beyonce. I mean, she killed it. You know, had a great show. But other than that, and like, literally a handful, like you could count on one hand, plays made by a couple guys. It was ugly, man. It was ugly across the board. It just wasn't pretty. And the biggest thing is that, you know, for me, it happened during the regular season. None of that matters. If it happens in the playoffs, then you're just hurting for an entire offseason. You know, happens during the regular season, it absolutely sucks. You hate it. The 6 days or whatever till your next game are miserable. But there is a next game. It happens in the playoffs. That's your season. And then it's like you have to question everything. So I really hope we get a different result going forward. And, you know, there's optimism to speak of in the sense of, okay, we can see the direction. That game left you wondering, or left a lot of people wondering, where is this thing going?
I would say, like, right in the moment, Tom pointed out to me before we started recording, you know, on Twitter, I put a lot out there. I was a little frustrated with how this game went. I'm not going to deny that. My biggest takeaway is this. The Texans need the seeding to be favorable to not playing the Ravens in the playoffs. And let me explain, right? So in this season, the Texans' best chances of winning have come when the defense has showed up and performed. And there's been very few games where that hasn't happened. This game was one of those games. And so I would say that the two-headed monster that is Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson creates too many problems for a defense that's injured. I don't foresee, like, the nickel safety is a really the star safety role is very important for the Texans defense. We don't know if Petrie's going to be back in time for a playoff matchup. We don't know what the timetable is for his return, which means that we're now looking at Lassiter, which is good, but this Texans defense needs a matchup that they can win. They've shown against the Bills, they've shown against the Chiefs to be able to at least be serviceable and keep the matchup close, which is what the Texans need. The Texans are 7-5 in close games. There's like a little more than a 50-50 chance of a win in that scenario. But I would say personally that the best chance the Texans have is favorable seeding to not have to play the Ravens in the playoffs. And just hoping that you can get the offense better and that the defense plays well as they have against these contending teams. To start the discussion, though, let's talk about CJ's game. We'll just go right into the offensive portion. But it's been a discussion ongoing all season. How much of this is on CJ? How much of it is on the offense? Robert Land, I posted today, I said the interior offensive line is going to be the toughest thing the Texans have to fix this offseason. And Robert Land, I think, made a really good point. You do your post-game show with him right after the game. If you guys aren't checking that out, you should, because Tom's on it, and that's reason enough. But also, Robert's been doing it a long time. So, I mean, from what I heard, though, Robert says a lot of the things that I do. But he also says a lot of things that I don't. So you're getting, you know, other Texans material. You should be tuning into that. But he made a good point. 90% of the battle is getting an offensive coordinator and offensive line coach in there that can coach this team. And I think he's committed to, as most Texans fans are, the fact that that's probably a deeper issue than it, a lot of people thought it would be going into the season. But with all the things that are going on with this Texans offense, let's start with CJ. What did you think of CJ's game against the Ravens?
It wasn't very good. Look, the NFL is built on teams with elite quarterback play. And if you don't have it, you see it. Everybody talks about it. J.J. Watt, famous line as a Houston Texan. You know, you have to have a quarterback to have a shot in this league. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a shot in this league. You just can't win without one. And James, I think a lot of Texans fans feel like we do have a quarterback in C.J. Stroud that eventually will be the guy, will be a guy that can win games. Right now, I feel like the last 3 or 4 weeks, this has been trending in this direction. Every game has been like serviceable, but we've not seen stellar play from C.J. C.J. would say that himself. He'd say it a lot of post games. And it was trending in the wrong direction. Well, the wheels finally fell off on this game, and there were throws that CJ missed that he normally makes. There were reads that weren't made. There were coverages he threw into. There were so many mistakes that were just like so many steps backwards from where he's been as a quarterback for the last almost two seasons. And while I don't believe that this one game is indicative of what CJ is this year or what he'll be going forward, you know, I'm not going to overreact to it. It is a concern from the sense that, you know, there is more learning, there is more schooling to CJ, where a lot of people after the season thought, look, this is a finished product. He's ready to go. This guy's the limit. His numbers are only going to get better. This guy is that dude. And you know, this season we've seen mistakes made that weren't made last season. We've seen different things from CJ that are customary of a young quarterback. And that's not to say that he's not a young quarterback. Like, it's totally okay that he's making these mistakes. You see that from time to time. You go, okay, we chalk that up. Josh Allen, year two, looked like that. Lamar Jackson, year two, looked like that. These are two guys that are fighting for MVP right now. These are two guys that are much further along in their careers. And I think it's very important that people denote where CJ is in all this, where Bobby Slowick is in all this, where D'Amico Ryans is in all this. We got the bar set immediately to the roof because we've been starved of it. The Texan fan base, the Texan, you know, brain trust been starved of it. They went, they spent this money, they brought in all this talent. But the whole thing, the whole crux of the whole thing, was on the back of some young guys, and now we're seeing where they are not being able to get it done to that elite level.
Yeah, and what I'll say is this. I'll preface this by saying D'Amico came from San Francisco. San Francisco has a history of not really being forthcoming with their injury reports. I say that to say this. In the postgame, the first time that CJ, maybe it was a slip, I don't know, but there was an implication from the words CJ said that CJ's not fully healthy, that he's playing through something. A lot of people are pointing back to the Jets game. He got kind of driven into the ground at MetLife. Could have messed with his shoulder. And so CJ's not 100% in that regard. The stats, everything that trends from that moment forward back, maybe he's not 100%. That being said, I mean, I think at the season as a whole, he has kind of taken a step back. But I think that most of it happened after that. Like, I think that if we don't see that injury, maybe we see a better version of CJ. And I think it plays into this. A lot of the discussion around this Texans offensive line's play has been that CJ's timing and confidence is thrown off. But what if quite literally this offensive line's play has led to CJ actually getting hurt and it's actually physically affecting his ability to play? And he, being CJ, being a competitor, has played through it to this point. I'll tell you this. I mean, it's a different perspective on CJ and his performance this season if it's known that he's had a shoulder injury since Halloween that's been bothering him. It puts a different lens on how you view his performance, and makes it look less like a normal rookie or sophomore slump kind of thing and more like a guy who's playing through something maybe he shouldn't be playing through. And to that, I mean, if CJ doesn't play, I don't know if the Texans are where they are. I know his play has not been great, but CJ has been serviceable enough to get the Texans to where they're at offensively. I think it could have honestly been a lot better. But with that in mind, I mean, I think CJ's performance obviously was not amazing. And there was a lot of throws, and there has been a lot of throws in recent weeks that he's not hitting that he should be. I've spoken to it a lot of points. This Texans offense relies very heavily on explosive play. They need big chunks of yardage.
Well, one thing I'll say to kind of push back on that is that if that was the case, if we're talking about CJ being injured since Halloween, then he's doing a poor job of protecting himself because the man holds onto the football too long. And that's like my biggest concern with him. I think when he's on time, when he's quick with the football, I think that's when you see CJ at his best. I think when he's trying to extend these plays to really get, you know, the explosive, get, you know, a 15-yard play instead of the 5-yard play in front of him, that's where he hurts this offense. So he may be hurt. You may be right. That may be something that they're talking about later. I know he got driven into the ground again in this game, and he came up and was numb for a little bit, but then he popped right back into the game and went right back to work. And then he went on to have a couple plays where he ran the ball where it's like, just throw it away, CJ. Live to fight another day. Just throw it away. And that's like one of the things that I can't stand is like I feel like he hurts himself trying to extend too much. And if he's injured, he shouldn't be doing that anyway. Somebody should be in his ear going, look, you can't take another lump.
No, yeah, and I think that to close out that point, I think that there's merit to the discussion around Joe Brady and how the Bills moved on from him. Him forcing Josh Allen to be play hero ball is what kind of made this, you know, Josh Allen maybe not as good as he could have been in his early years. He had flashes, but like people were like, maybe Josh Allen isn't it. And then they fired offensive coordinator. The Bills did brought in a new guy. And Josh Allen wasn't being asked to be the hero on 3rd and 9. Instead, he was being given opportunities early on to play. And so I think that, to your point, I think CJ's being forced to extend plays because he's being forced to play hero ball, which is not conducive to, you know, him, his progression and development, which is why I give more merit to the discussion point around Bobby Slowick's job security.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
But to speak to the change of scenery that Stroud may need, are there other players in the offense that might need it? What one point that I'd like to talk to you about really is Nico Collins' production. Since he returned from injury, he hasn't really been producing at an elite level. Do you think any of that is on him? Do you think that there's this domino effect of offensive issues that's causing that? How do you feel about Nico Collins in recent weeks?
I really think like it's no fault of his own. I really think that Nico Collins is used as much as they can use him in the offense right now without like just staring down the barrel of the gun constantly going, I'm just going to go to Nico every time. I think part of what makes CJ great is the fact that he spreads the ball around. I think normally we get one of those explosives that you mentioned earlier where it's Nico for 40 or Nico for 30 and then, you know, add five more catches for 10 or 15 a pop. And then you're talking about a game where he's around 100 yards and maybe a score. I think right now with the Texans offense just being so erratic, dysfunction, you know, like, I don't know what the fix is. Against good teams, you basically have to have a really good plan. Danielle Hunter in his post game talked about planning better. I don't know what he meant as far as planning better, whether that's a defensive thing, whether that's an offensive thing, whether that's an in general thing. You know, obviously he's coming from another system in Minnesota where maybe they did things a little differently. But a lot of fans agree with him. Like, what are we doing if we're talking about planning that, you know, at this point in the season, that shouldn't be an issue. I mean, Nico's had a couple drops, but nothing that I would call egregious. And I really think he's doing the best he can. All of the parts, right? Nico, Tank before he got hurt, you know, now Mechie and now Hutchinson, those guys are going to depend on CJ. And as CJ goes, I think those guys go, and that's really what I'm going to be looking at. Unless you just see guys just all of a sudden have the drops where it's like, okay, 10 targets and it's 5 for 50. That's where I'm going to go, okay, maybe that Nico's production has dropped off. Until then, I feel right now he's really doing the best he can. I don't see an issue with what Nico's doing.
Yeah, I have to be in the same boat. I mean, I think that there you can draw the line from what you think the root cause is, and you're never going to start with Nico being the issue. And I mean, I think some of the catches he made in this game honestly gave the offense more than they probably should have gotten based off of how poorly the offense was playing. So, I mean, I'll give that to him. And like, you know, if CJ, like you said, he runs as CJ runs. If CJ misses him, there's not much he can do about it, unless he's out of position or dropping the ball, which is not him. So, to that point, yeah, I feel the same way. As far as game planning goes, I like how you brought up Danielle Hunter's game planning comment. It's interesting to see because we've had issues on both sides of the ball with, at least from a fan perspective, of like, how do we adjust? What are these coordinators doing? Bobby Slowick, you know, infamously said, football is football. There's no need to adjust. D'Amico is a we'll play our game kind of guy. So kind of transitioning into a defensive discussion. Do you feel like that attitude of we are the Texans defense and we're just going to play our game maybe got in the way of their ability to stop the Ravens offense, which with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson was going to require a special game plan to stop?
I really think that, you know, being down Agent Zero in the middle of that linebacking core had a lot to do with the Ravens being so successful on the ground. They went right up the gut. Their offensive line blocked it up well, but I thought, you know, the linebackers really struggled. Christian Harris was dinged up in warmups, so I don't know if he was 100%. Obviously, he gave it a go, but there was one play where Mark Andrews basically ran away from him, and I don't see that normally. I think Christian Harris normally runs him down, so maybe he was limited. And then, you know, you start thinking about that star position that we talked about. Jimmy Ward, bigger dude. Petrie, I think, bigger dude. Kamari, maybe not as a bigger dude, definitely willing to stick his nose in there. But I think when you got Derrick Henry barreling down at you, that's a different ask. And, you know, they put a big premium on being able to have like that fourth linebacker. And when they're running, you know, Derrick Henry at you like that, if he gets to that level, it's really hard to stop. He's just bigger than everybody else. So I don't know that it was so much about the Texans defense as it was about the Baltimore Ravens. You really got to give them credit. They're one of the hottest teams in the league. They really did a good job of executing their game plan. I think what Danielle Hunter's comment was maybe about was going, okay, this is what they want to do to us, and we didn't formulate a good game plan to stop that. I don't think there was any confusion about what Baltimore was trying to do, and I don't think they ever made them uncomfortable in their ability to do it. when Derrick Henry didn't run the ball, Lamar Jackson ran the ball, and they just ran, and they schemed everything up so good to be able to open up lanes for them. And I think that was just what Baltimore wanted to do. I think the Texans have to do a better job of getting people away from doing what they want to do, much like other defenses do to the Texans offense. That way, okay, now we're going to plan B and C and D. Baltimore got to do whatever they wanted until it was out of reach, and then they just didn't mean play.
Yeah, and I mean, to speak to Baltimore's offense, I've said it like I think six times this episode. I stand by it. The Texans defense performed very well and has done very good in the past at containing Lamar Jackson, even in what were pretty brutal games like last year in the playoffs, the start of the season last year. Lamar Jackson was held in check. It was just a matter of the Texans offense not being there, or the Texans not being a mature enough team to take advantage of that. Now we see a Texans team that has to not only contain Lamar Jackson, but also a familiar foe in Derrick Henry. The annual Derrick Henry 200-yard rushing game is PTSD for any Texans fan. So having to stop that and Lamar, you kind of pick and choose. I know in the past, the Texans have given up a large rushing games to Jonathan Taylor last year in the last game of the season and clinched the playoffs still and won that game. So maybe it was maybe not properly prioritizing what was more important. I don't think you were ever going to stop both of them. I don't know. And maybe a fully healthy Texans defense could have given it a go. But I wasn't like super strong. I didn't feel super strongly that they were going to be able to do that. To speak to Christian Harris, it'll be interesting to see this next week. There's been rumors that the Texans might shift to more of a 4-3 defense, or sorry, 3-4, and just put that fourth linebacker on the field, and Harris would be that guy. So it'd be, Toa Toa, Azeez Al-Shaair, Devin White, and Christian Harris. And you'd see Harris play more of that star safety role, because he's more shifty as a linebacker. I'd be interested to see if the Texans are interested in trying that. I think they like Lassiter in that role. And I think that outside of the Ravens, Lassiter probably looks a lot better in that role than he did against the Ravens due to what the Ravens are as an offense. So, I mean, I stand by it. The Texans should probably just avoid the Ravens in the playoffs. And to follow down that path, right, the Texans are pretty much locked into the 4 seed. The Texans, if they win in the first round and if all the division round winners or the division champs win, you move into a place where you're going to play the Chiefs. If which they played the Chiefs close, I feel a lot better about that matchup than a matchup with the Ravens. Play the Chiefs, beat them, get to the AFC Championship. You hope that the Bills beat the Ravens, because as good as the Bills are now, they're a lot better than they were when the Texans beat them. I still like that matchup a lot better than I do a matchup with the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. But I mean, all these hypotheticals, like if you need to ask for all of this to get through, what are we doing? I'm interested to see. And I'd like to speak to it. We'll kind of talk about this and maybe bring it to a close, but you've set me straight on this a few times, so I applaud you for that. But the Texans are in their second year head coach, second year offensive coordinator, second year quarterback. There's time to fix what's going on with this Texans team. If you were to project based off what we've seen this year, the step back they took, what we know needs to be fixed, what do you think is the timeline on the Texans becoming what we thought they were going to be going into this season?
See, that's the beauty of it. Like, it could be as easy as next year. You look at where the Lions were a year ago to where the Lions are now, and they had a lot of similar pieces but really didn't have it all together. You didn't know if they were going to be this explosive. You thought maybe, but now they look like one of the best teams in football. I really don't see that much that needs to be cleaned up. You fix the offensive line. You get a little lucky. You get healthy. Now you're 14-2 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's literally the difference in their record right now, is the ball bouncing this way, some health, questionable suspension, this and that. And then, maybe we're not as so upset about this game. The irony for me is that, so many people had these expectations so high, and there's a lot of dysfunction amongst Texans fans as to what's left of the season. And if before the season started, I told you the Texans are going to go 10-7, you go, and they're going to win their division, you go, let's do it. Let's go. 4 seed. absolutely. You know, three seed, whatever. I'm good. And now it's like, after that game, doesn't matter if they go 10-7. Doesn't matter if they won the division. Season's over. Bust. Fire everybody. D'Amico out. Everything. And it's just like crazy to me because I don't get that worked up. You know, from week to week, yes, a bad game is a bad game. And teams are going to have them. You know, like 100% they're going to have them. Do you want to get smoked like that in your own building when Beyonce plays halftime on national TV? Absolutely not. Those are the things that I think hurt the worst, is that so far the Texans have yet to put one of these good performances on a national stage where like, yeah, America, that's my team. And I think that's what bothers people so much. But I still have all the hope that the Texans can do something in the postseason because I feel like they still have a lot of pieces there. Obviously, the injuries are horrible. When you talk about what they've lost this season, who they've lost on the offensive side of the ball, who they've lost on the defensive side of the ball, those are key contributors. And anybody that thinks that you just next man up that stuff, you're just not watching. So, you know, the way Jalen Petrie played, the way Tank Dell had finally come on right there, even the way Steph Diggs was being a leader and then constantly contributing, those are guys, man, that those losses hurt a lot. And if you take some of those guys off of some of these other teams, maybe they're not as successful. And do I still think the Texans can turn around and beat Baltimore? Absolutely, I could. When James was tweeting out his feelings and his heart was out on his sleeve after that game, I said, hey, man, last year Cleveland came into Houston, did the exact same thing in a similar spot at the end of the season. I mean, with Joe Flacco and tore them up. And the Texans hosted them in the playoffs and absolutely took them behind the woodshed. Do I believe it's the same scenario? No. Do I believe the Texans can still win a playoff game in their building? Absolutely. So we'll just have to see how the dominoes fall. But I have all the confidence that if CJ puts together performance, the defense plays, which they've shown to be able to do, they can go beat anybody.
I agree with you. I mean, I think that a lot of people are maybe a little frustrated, a little upset. Oh, buddy. No, the Texans embarrassed us in front of Beyonce. Oh my goodness, I'm so upset.
He's frustrated too. I understand. He's
frustrated. Welcome, Roy, to the bullpen. First appearance. How are you doing, bud?
What up, Roy?
But I think the Texans, I don't know, losing against a good team in that way, it just kind of takes away your confidence that they could show up in that way. I'm going to keep this short because, but yeah, I don't know. Like, that's why I get so mad about that. But the team could still win in the playoffs. I feel good about how they'll do. I just don't think that they're a Super Bowl contender.
Nah.
But yeah, Roy, you want to send it off? Follow my dad on social media. At James Roy NFL. At TC Tom 1. Third Coast Tom. This has been the bullpen. And this has been Roy.
Telling you how Texans fans feel.
Yeah, who has had better days. He had to watch the Texans play the Ravens on Christmas, so he, you know, you can understand how he feels and how we feel. But a change is coming. We're turning it around. It's all going to be good. Future is bright in Houston. All right. As always, thanks for tuning into the bullpen. Stay classy, Houston. And vamos, Texans.
Thanks for tuning into the bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from the bullpen.
Pick the handoff. Stroud looking. Stroud. End zone. Wide open. Touchdown, Collins.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.